Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD, a Motown-esque Thursday edition of the Triple Option. And you can be a part of the Triple Option. Matter of fact, you're the most important part of the Triple Option. So please do watch the Triple Option as well. Go to hornfm.com and you can tap into the Twitch stream there. There should be a link for you to hit there and make it easy on you. That's hornfm.com. You also can cyberstalk us via Twitter. I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse. The real MVP, BK, is at Brad Kellner. And my man Kevin Dunn. Oh, nothing but net.
Please, it's my hook shot.
Nothing but net.
You always want to see if I'm banking stuff in. I'm not banking anything. And if I did bank it, I'd call it.
By the way, you did. You've been doing a lot of banking, lately.
You're right.
With your hook shot.
You're right. Been making money left and right.
With your hook shot.
My Dak.
You've been hitting. Yeah. By the way, the backboard is a wall.
Okay, so but the backboard wasn't set up yesterday because the way the box was set up, you'd only have a quarter of the backboard. Doesn't matter. I still... Nothing but the bottom.
KD's wide world of sports that happens in between every break.
Exactly. Boy, my curveball earlier with Derek.
Woo! Yeah.
It's got some 12 to 6 on
it. It's ridiculous. Every break, he's either shooting wadded up
We're doing a sports show.
Wadded up pieces of paper into a trash container or throwing a tennis ball to act like he's a pitcher. Mm-hmm. Or you got a bat back here.
Yeah.
You grab one of those bats and you'll swing away.
I will swing away.
What are you practicing for, KD?
I know.
Life.
What other random sport do you play out there?
Life.
We need a little football.
So you can we do football. Need a little football.
Like a tiny Nerf football so you don't break anything.
You know, it's funny. BK was shooting hoops after the show about a week ago with me, and he missed 7 or 8 in a row.
Wow.
And I'm hitting him. He's like, you're not hitting me in my shooter's pocket.
Wow.
Yeah, I am. And I hit him in his pocket a couple times. Took me 2 tries. It was a tough angle. I'll give you that. It was a tough angle on the recycling bin.
There's your practice, I guess.
Yeah. You see? That's what I'm practicing for.
I'm going to laugh, and I shouldn't laugh at something like this, but I will because I hate KD when he has to get Tommy John surgery.
Oh, it's going to happen.
From all the curveballs he's throwing in the hallway here at the Austin Radio Network.
Do you know the saddest thing? We'll be explaining that.
Yeah.
Because it'll probably be Dr. Brotsman. He specializes in ankles, knees, and feet, but the guy knows what he's doing, and he's going to say, so when did this happen? And I'm going to have to get around that. And you'll probably call him and say, no, it happened the last couple years.
Yeah.
In the hallway with a tennis ball.
Tennis ball. And trying to throw somehow 80 with a tennis ball in the hallway without a gun to even clock it.
Or throwing a breaking ball that just didn't break.
Yeah. I've thrown some of those in my life.
Yeah.
So KD's wild. We got to keep that on video sometimes. KD's wild world of sports. Remember, we used to have a golf, like a little putting thing out there.
Yeah.
Remember? I was good at that.
You were really good at that.
I was great at the putting.
We all did that, and Rod's like, I'm the worst at golf, and we're all taking shots at it, and it was a long way away.
I was good
at that. Rod steps up like the pro athlete he is and goes, I'm awful at this, on camera, nails it, and then walks off.
Dude, it was pretty, pretty awesome.
It was pretty impressive.
I think it's most luck, but I'll take it. All right, the Texans.
Rather be lucky than good.
Well, the Texans won't be either.
No, they won't.
They won't be lucky or
good. They'll
be
lucky if they get the first pick. That's what they're trying to do.
Well, maybe they'll have God on their side. Jack used to be. The chaplain is still there, so God might be looking out for the Texans.
I think God looks at him like he does that nun we had in the off-the-record story yesterday.
Jack, that's true. Well, yeah, maybe.
You're claiming you're part of our club, but using it.
Which one? God like Easter Be More or Deshaun Watson?
Well, he likes Easter Be More because he's not a nun. He's ripping people off, but not schools like that.
All right. Well, the Deshaun Watson situation, of course, to be determined. We don't know how his legal issues are going to play out. And the belief is it won't resolve itself or resolve itself. It won't be resolved by the end of this year, even by the end of football season. The belief is he's going to somehow end up on the commissioner's exempt list. We just don't know when that's going to happen. And then he can, deal with all of his legal issues at that point. But David Culley, the head coach of the Texans, he announced on
Thank you for reminding us and for the listeners, because if you're driving, I got you.
No, I'm serious. Most people cannot name the Texans head coach. They can't because it wasn't. Most people probably think Jack Easterby is the head coach because you talk more about Easterby than you did David Culley. Most people cannot name him. They don't know who the hell the guy is.
Kind of be right about that.
Yeah, because you'll come from a job, may not as high profile as the Texans, but you'll come from a job where people at least know you. Oh, he used to be a head coach here.
Right.
He used to be a head coach in college. David Culley's never been a head coach anywhere.
Even Abizano, was that it? Joe, the longtime special teams coach for your Cowboys. Even when he got the job, us in Texas, we knew him because he'd been special teams coach for 20 years.
Exactly. Most people just don't know David Culley that well. I heard he's a great guy, but people are questioning whether he's going to be a great head coach. But I digress. He announced yesterday that the Houston Texans are going to cancel next week's mandatory minicamp. The first-year head coach told reporters his coaches and players accomplished enough during off-season program and the 10 OTAs. They accomplished enough. And he said that he's happy with what they have seen. Now, we have a little sound.
Yeah.
Right, let's hear from David Culley then.
We felt like that we needed to make sure that for at least a good 4 weeks during the off-season that we had as many players as here as possible, this being voluntary, to be able to learn our culture, learn our system, new defense, all of the different players that we've had. And so what we did a month ago is we had our team leaders earlier in the offseason came to an agreement that it was more important for us to make sure that we had as many people as we needed to be here possible to be able to learn what we're doing. And with that being said, that we would forego the mini camp because we felt like that was more important. And that's why we decided not to do the mini camp, because our attendance has been great for us here. We've got to accomplish what we wanted to get accomplished. We felt like that getting them here was more important than being able to just have those 2.5 days of mini camp. And we feel like we got that done.
He's such a word salad guy. He's saying nothing. Continue to repeat.
He reset
himself.
It five different ways, but kind of the same way.
He is a word salad guy. That's why they brought him in, because he's great at press conferences, because he won't reveal a damn thing and yet will stay positive and will just give you word salad to the point where he'll frustrate reporters and they'll go, all right, I'm not asking you another question. Okay,
yeah.
Because he doesn't give you anything. So that's all that was.
That was terrible. And it's funny because the reasons the Texans need to have a mandatory minicamp is what he is using as why the Texans aren't having a mandatory minicamp.
He listed all the reasons why they need them, Frank.
I know.
New schemes.
Yep.
New players.
Yep.
New coaches.
Bad players.
Bad players. Old players.
That's why we don't need minicamp. No, that's why you do need minicamp.
Right.
David? What are you doing, coach? You need minicamp because of all of those reasons you just laid out. What are you talking about? And the team leaders. First of all, who are the team leaders on the Texans?
Nobody. No, Benardrick McKinney and what's the other?
It can't be Laramie Tunsil because he wasn't there this week.
That's true.
You went there for the voluntary
That's
stuff.
True.
Charles
yeah.
Minnehu.
Titus Hart. Charles Minnehu is one. He is one. He's going to start this year. It's a great point.
Is he a leader?
Well,
it's year three.
Yeah, that's bad.
That's a problem.
First year as a starter, I don't know if he's a leader. Man.
Right. I mean, Charles Minnehu has leadership qualities. I don't mean to take any shots at him, former Horn intern.
Yeah,
but
it felt like it.
Who are the leaders on the Texans?
You're right.
But they got a lot of old guys.
They're the oldest team in the NFL.
Yeah. And the question is, do any of those leaders care about winning? Does anybody on the Texans care about winning?
No,
because
I think that's
if you
their
do,
role.
No, if you're a player. Right, because David Culley says that he met with the players, the team leaders, a couple of weeks ago. And they said, well, if they get enough attendance at voluntary OTAs, then they don't need to have this mini camp. How does none of the players say, Coach, we need that? Like, our team's not very good. We've got a bunch of new guys here.
Because they know they're going to suck.
Coaching staff.
They're not the only team.
Does nobody care about winning? I know the organization, the players. Have some damn pride.
Yeah.
Someone on that team, one of the team leaders, needs to step up and say, no, coach, we actually really need this.
Yes.
We're not good. Now, they're looking at it as, hey, we get a couple of weeks off, we can go to Cancun, we can vacation.
I think it's that.
That's pathetic, man. So, like, one of the team leaders has to be like, dude, we really could use this mini camp if we actually want to pretend that we care about
winning. They are older, so to your point, adding credibility to your point, older players,
they should know that
they don't. Oh, exactly, they should know, but older players don't value these mini camps.
No.
Like younger players, like Jags, like Rod, be like, oh, I need mini camps because I need opportunities to get reps and impress
Show
the coaches.
Them,
yeah, this is the oldest roster in the NFL. A lot of what we call these mercenary deals, right? 1 to 2 year contracts because Nick Caserio knows he's going to be rebuilding pretty soon. So you got these short term deals. So a lot of these guys, they signed on basically, more to BK's point, to be mercenaries.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily think they think.
I think they know. They know what the organization wants.
Yes,
and
they,
the reason
they know Deshaun Watson is not going to play for this year. It's going to be Tyrod Taylor or Davis Mills as their quarterback. They know that
the organization wants to be bad, and because they want to rebuild, and that's one of the few things I understand with them. I think BK's point is right on, and that some of these players probably should have said, look, we do need this, but Rod's also right where they're mercenaries, and it's the last couple of years of my time in the league, and I'm just glad to have it. But the organization, the ones up top that are making this decision, this is the equivalent of the hot chick in Major League, the owner who was trying to move the Indians and wanted them to lose, saying, you know, you can't have batting practice, right? I mean, they don't want practice because they don't want them to be any good. Yep. And it's not going to affect it either way. They're going to be bad this year. It's not like OTAs would have made them a six-win team.
But by the way, they're not the only team doing this, so we should say that. The Colts have done this. The Eagles have done this. There are other teams in the NFL that are deciding to skip minicamp this year.
Niners canceled it. They did have two season-ending injuries, and the Niners feel like they're going to be in it. It's like, we don't want any more of this.
Yeah, so I will say that that's – so it doesn't – it doesn't seem as egregious because other teams are doing it, but when you consider they've had 49 additions to the team, right? They basically have signed, traded, and re-signed 40 veterans this offseason. It's a 90-man roster right now, and they've added 49 new additions to the team. So of the 90 players on the roster that are currently on the roster, you have 49 new players. Like, just brand new guys on the team. So it's not a lot of team chemistry. Most of those guys are older veteran guys because they are technically the oldest team in the NFL. And I do think KD's right to a certain extent. There is some inverse analytics going on with Nick Caserio basically saying, all right, how do we put ourselves in a position to be the least successful we can be, to be the worst possible team we can be? And one of those is, let's just not practice if we have the opportunity to. And this is one of those opportunities. So in terms of bringing on new players, that's a way to, you know, reverse engineer your formula, right, to be bad. You bring on a lot of new players, a lot of new chemistry. You're going to have Tyrod Taylor or Davis Mills as your quarterback. That's going to make you really bad. So I think they're looking at different variables that can help them drive down the product. And one of them is skipping minicamps.
Yeah.
One of them is bringing in tons of new players. What are the other ways? So basically, I think you got inverse analytics happening. It's you know, they've basically in the NBA, they've turned tanking into a science. We know this. They literally would call it the method, all these types of things. They've turned it into a science. I think he's taking some of those same principles and applying them to the Texans to ensure they get that number one overall pick next year because they're going to need it to rebuild.
First couple years you were done with the league, this would have been perfect for you. Bring home the hometown kid.
Oh, yeah.
They would have brought
you in. That would have been great. They would have brought me in.
Like, Rob, we don't think right now you're an NFL player. We're going to sign you to a two-year deal.
The Lions just cut you.
We're going to build up the UT stuff, the H-Town stuff. We're going to have Houston Lamar Day.
You're right. I would have made this squad. Damn it.
Once again, timing.
Timing is everything. Man.
Yeah, this is definitely an organizational decision. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes. We thought Jason Garrett was a puppet. Dude, David Coley.
Oh, yeah.
Might be the biggest puppet coach in the history of the NFL. I don't think this guy has a say in anything that's going on within the Texans. But I just don't get it from a player standpoint. Like, I get the older guys, the veteran guys, don't feel that they need mini camps or OTAs or training camps, to be perfectly honest. But most of the Texans roster is on one-year contracts.
Yeah.
Don't these guys want to be good so they can get a contract beyond this year? Like, that's why I'm like, why are the players not stepping up to the coaches into the organization? And maybe they did, but David Coley is not saying that. Exactly. He's saying the players basically spearheaded this movement. But why are none of the players saying, nah, coach, like, I would love the extra practice. I would like the extra practice. So, yeah, we're going to suck this year, but I can get a job beyond this year. Because if I'm a part of an 0-17 team, I don't think a lot of people are going to want to sign me next year.
Yeah.
So that's what I don't get. I get the Texans. Rod, I think you're dead on. The organization is looking for ways to lose. No organization ever comes out and tells you you're tanking, but the Texans are trying to lose games this year. It's obvious by the moves that they're making. I just don't get it from a player stance. Yeah. Well, have some pride. Yeah. These guys are the biggest competitors in the world. Why are none of them stepping up and saying, hey, can we practice? Can we try to be good, please?
I think your Cancun point was on.
Yeah, Cancun's nice.
Yeah. So it's a mixed bag of that. And I'm with you. I want to know who's on this leadership council.
Yeah,
could you list those guys for me, Mr. Cully, please?
Do you have one?
Did you really meet me with the leadership council, or you got like three guys together and was like, hey, what do y'all think?
Right.
And two of them were like, I don't care, coach. And I was like, okay.
No OTAs?
Sounds good to me.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I'm with you. I think some of the guys, and they're going to be working out on their own, doing their own thing. But I'm worried about specifically, and this is how you know the Texans are tanking, right? They look at the quarterbacks they brought in. Before they cut Is it with Ryan Finley? Who did they cut recently?
Yes.
They cut Ryan Finley. They brought in Jeff Driscoll.
They traded a sixth-round pick for Ryan Finley, and then they cut him after 66
and then they cut
days.
Him, which made no sense at all. At one point, they had Ryan Finley, Jeff Driscoll, and Tyrod Taylor as their quarterbacks that were going to compete for the starting job because Deshaun Watson was going to sit out the season. Since 2018, there have been eight quarterbacks who have averaged under 6.5 yards per attempt and completed less than 60% of their passes with a minimum of 100 attempts. Three of them were on the Texans. That stat is out there. Those analytics are out there. That was done intentionally. They're trying to be really bad. But as a Texans fan, I'm not against it because they do need that number one overall pick. Bringing in Lovie freaking Smith. Do you know how bad Lovie Smith is going to be? Let me give you a quote from Lovie Smith, guys. This is a real quote.
Uh-oh.
Recently from Lovie Smith. Remember, he got fired from Illinois. All right. The 5-year tenure. This is what he described why his defense didn't work. Quote.
He's got the Santa Claus thing working, doesn't
he? Yeah, and it ain't good. He said, quote, I think when I initially left the NFL and went to college, it was probably more adjustments we had to make then. The college game, it's a lot more quarterback run dominated offenses. I think our system, and everybody has a system, you tweak it from year to year, but I don't think we'll have to adjust ours that much in the NFL. Does he watch an NFL game lately?
I know.
I mean, you put Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott, Justin Fields, now Trey Lance, and Jalen Hurts, and Josh Allen, Deshaun Watson. Hell, Taysom Hill's going to be starting at a quarterback. Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson, Cam Newton. Are you serious?
Yeah.
This is the greatest rushing quarterback era in the history of the NFL. And now you're saying that's why your system didn't work in college? Another quote from Lovie Smith.
Uh-oh.
In college, we weren't able to run our entire system. Most of the time, offenses go three wide receivers. We kept our base defense on the field. We didn't play our nickel packages much, so I think our defense is much more suited for the NFL game, and we'll make the tweaks and things like that. But we feel pretty good about what I've seen, end quote.
Unbelievable.
This guy just said that he's going to play. He played base personnel versus three wide receivers in college. The college and the program have never looked more similar.
No, they are.
There are no more college plays and pro offenses and college offenses.
It trickles up and down.
It trickles up and down. Dude, in 2019, defense in the NFL played more dime than base. And this dude's talking about, I got to get to the NFL where I can play more base. They're going to be really bad. Oh. And by the way,
his schemes are as old as his beard.
Exactly.
Oh. I had never heard those quotes. Oh.
That's classic right there.
But they brought this guy in.
Yeah.
For a reason. They know he's outdated.
I think Lovie was a good defensive coordinator.
In his time.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And you're right, that beard, I was trying to give him some love.
Dude, they're going to be so bad. They were 27th in scoring defense last year, 30th in total defense. They're going to be just as bad.
He led the Bears to a Super Bowl one time.
He did.
I was on that team.
I was
a part of that team before they cut me, so I got respect, Lovie Smith.
That was Super Bowl 41, guys.
Yeah.
I respect.
What are we playing this year, BK?
56, I believe.
It's 50-something.
It's been a while.
Tampa 2. That was his, Tampa 2?
I was just thinking that Tampa 2 was his deal, man.
That was his deal. He was a Tampa 2 guy. No, Tampa 2 is not good. Inverted Tampa 2. Maybe we can go there.
Do you think he knows what the word inverted means?
Yes, but I don't think he knows what inverted Tampa 2 means.
No chance. Well, if you're a Texans fan, after hearing this conversation or any conversation we have about the Texans, you might want a beer. If you're looking for a great beer here in Central Texas, make it Altstadt Beer. Altstadt is the best beer that you can find all across Central Texas, all across the state of Texas, too. If you're listening from Houston or from the DFW Metroplex, you can find Altstadt in those spots as well. But we're lucky enough to have it all over Central Texas. It's brewed here in Central Texas, brewed in Fredericksburg, but available at your favorite grocery stores, liquor stores, and convenience stores. And if you're going to be hitting the town this weekend, it's already Thursday, we're almost to the weekend, make sure you ask your bartenders, waitresses, waiters, servers, whoever for Altstadt beer. There's a damn good chance your favorite bar has it because Altstadt is a damn good beer. Brewed using only 4 ingredients, they've got a bunch of different brews too. Something for every beer drinker out there. I promise one sip and you won't go back to the other beers that you've been drinking in the past. It is the official beer of BK. It should be the official beer of you as well. It is Altstadt beer. No impurities, no regrets. All right, guys. The BK Lounge is coming up.
What you got?
We're sticking with Houston.
Oh, man.
I know. Never good.
Never good.
Rod was so pissed when we said this story.
I did not respond to the text.
I saw that.
I was like, I'm not responding.
BK and I are back and forth.
Not responding to the text.
The Astros cheating scandal. You thought it was going away.
Oh, man.
It's not going away. A new book is coming out that claims the Astros cheated way more and way longer than we originally thought. We'll get into it up next.
Fourth and five, the national championship on the line right here.
Oh, the band is out on the field.
There's the pass to Leitner. Puts it up. Yes!
I don't believe what I just saw.
Auburn's going to win the football game. Auburn's going to win the football game.
Chalmers for the tie.
Got it in 2 seconds.
Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler. Unreal.
Oh, wow. In your life, have you seen anything like that?
You believe in miracles? Yes.
Now, it's time to step inside the BK Lounge. Here's your host.
Who the hell is
Brad Kellner?
Baby, if you give it to me, I'll give it to you. I know what you want. You know I got it, baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into the BK Lounge. June 10th, 20 and 21 edition of the Lounge. Alongside Kevin Dunn and Rod Babers, I'm BK Brad Kellner, and this edition of the BK Lounge is brought to you by Audio Visual Consultations. Give them a call, 255-8678, to get the home TV setup of your dreams. All right, fellas, we're talking sports in today's BK Lounge. That's so lame.
What's going on with this?
I hate doing this to y'all, man.
You never talk sports in BK's Lounge.
No.
It's always something crazy. Some Florida man.
It's always some fun.
I'm disappointed. The people have let me down.
Off the records have been sports stories today, too. Sports related.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of sports on the show, man. What the hell?
Not enough weirdness in the world these days. Which is weird in itself.
Right.
I don't like it. You guys need to start doing weirder stuff, man.
All right.
Let's not
tomorrow, I'll do Freaky Fridays for Roger Ram today, and I'll come up with freaky random stuff for
Beautiful.
Fridays.
Yo. I didn't mean you guys for the show. I meant the people out there.
Oh, okay.
Like, y'all need to give us more content because you know how it works. Y'all report, we decide. But, yeah, we'll also have the late Friday news dump tomorrow.
Mm. So, oh, that's good.
Be ready for that. But we're talking sports, and we're talking about the Houston Astros.
Go Astros!
We're playing some damn good baseball, going for the sweep of the Bo Sox at Fenway tonight. I think that game just underway in Boston. But the cheating scandal, I don't think I need to lay this out. We all know what happened. We all know the punishment that the Astros got. We all know the sort of revenge tour that the Stros are on this year and how everywhere they go, they are being mercilessly booed by every fan base in Major League Baseball. But there's a new book that's out from baseball writer Andy Martino, who alleges that the Astros did not only cheat in 2017, the year they won the World Series, and the year that they were punished for cheating, but Andy Martino alleges that the Astros continued their sign-stealing scheme throughout the 2019 postseason.
Mm-hmm. Erroneous! Erroneous!
Yeah.
He's got a new book titled Cheated! The Inside Story of the Astros Scandal and a Colorful History of Sign-Stealing. Mm-hmm. And it details Houston's sign-stealing in 2019, which actually, according to him, differed slightly from the practice in previous years.
Oh, they tweaked it? Is this what he's saying?
So we had the trash can bit in 2017, but according to Martino, the Astros would use television monitors to pick up the opposing catcher signs and then use, instead of trash cans, a whistling coach and a massage gun to signal different pitches.
What does a massage gun do?
To the Astros hitter.
What does a massage gun do?
Ask Deshaun Watson. It's a Houston thing.
Right. Come on.
Nah, he didn't use the gun. He used
He didn't use the gun.
Yeah.
His love gun, maybe. So what's this massage gun does?
So the whistle, we'll start with the whistle.
Okay.
According to Martino, the exact tone and volume of the whistle would vary depending on the pitch that a pitcher was about to throw.
That's a skilled whistler.
Yeah.
Because I can't do
that. A whistle coach. They were paying this guy to just have different pitches.
You got to really have a good whistler.
Wow.
With his whistle.
Is he claiming this guy was like in the stands? Or was he like a part of the... Like the team, like in the dugout.
Well, he was obviously getting that information from someone that was getting it on video and doing it pretty quickly.
So he must have been with the team.
There's a signal from the video coach that would signal something to the dugout or to this whistling coach, and he would make some sort of...
Okay.
And that'd be so hard...
So quick.
...to tell if it was an employee of the team or just a fan whistling. Because people whistle all the time.
Yeah, he's got people whistling the stage.
Like the trash can thing, a little bit easier to tell because you don't have people making like loud banging sounds from the stands. But people whistle all the time.
All the time.
There's a guy from Vanderbilt series.
All the time.
Talked about it earlier. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, he's been there for years.
And
he just
would not stop whistling. I'll give this play-by-play guy some credit. At some point, the guy stopped and then came back and he said, you know, the whistling guy, I thought he had died down, but he's back, and it's so annoying.
I was
annoying.
Hoping he had left,
it's
but no, he's
so
still there.
Annoying.
It's the worst. That guy, I want him kicked out.
Yeah, you do.
I'd rather that guy get a lifetime ban from sporting events than the guys who have been throwing stuff at NBA players.
Oh, without a doubt.
Come on, man.
Who's hurting your experience more?
Yeah, the whistler.
Right.
So I don't think we have, in the article I'm looking at, and I haven't read this book yet. I'm not even sure this book is out, and I'm acting like I'm actually going to read the book. You guys know better. But y'all remember in the 2019 ALDS when the Astros played the Rays, that the Rays asked Major League Baseball to look out for Houston players wearing like vibrating Band-Aids.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or just like
this.
Buzzers
on their purses.
Yeah. And MLB did an investigation, supposedly.
Said they found nothing.
Into the Houston Astros and said that they found nothing.
Yeah.
Then there was an altercation in the ALCS.
They didn't check their balls, though.
When the, what kind of balls here?
Testicles.
Like a cup check?
I don't think so. Because it sounds like Houston would have gone to any level to get this done.
So there was an interaction between the Yankees and Alex Cintron, who was the Astros hitting coach during the 2019 ALCS, where the sides went back and forth.
Yeah.
And Yankees manager Aaron Boone and a few of his coaches started yelling across the bench at Cintron, accusing him of being the whistler. So there's a thought that it was maybe the Astros hitting coach at the time who was doing the whistling. No one's exactly sure what happened, but Aaron Boone and some of the Yankee staffers during that ALCS, remember, there was a press conference comment from Aaron Boone accusing the Astros of cheating during that series, which, of course, the Astros won en route to making it all the way to Game 7 of the World Series. So,
and also ironic because the Yankees were doing some stuff, so were the Red Sox.
And that's why this
doesn't make the Astros right.
So I said it at the time, and I'll stick to this. KD, I know you're not a fan of absolutists. I said it when the results of the 2019 investigation came out. There's no way you can be absolute on either side here.
No.
Like, you obviously can't be absolute on the Astros cheating in 2019 because, well, Major League Baseball did an investigation and they found out that they weren't cheating. But on the other hand, I don't think you can be absolute that they weren't cheating.
Do you trust Major League Baseball?
Do we trust Major League Baseball? I talk about this all the time. Pro sports leagues don't care about cheating. They just care about the perception of cheating. So it would have looked better for Major League Baseball to say, the cheating's done. It happened in 2017. It didn't happen in 2019. Stop talking to us about it.
Yeah.
And also, the Mike Fier story did not come out until after the 2019 postseason was over.
Yeah.
It came out the offseason after that. So the Astros did not get punished until after their trip to the 2019 World Series, which leaves the door open to me
that they were doing it,
that they were still doing it because they didn't get caught and they were winning. Like, why would you not?
Yep.
Why would you not keep doing it if you could get away with it?
Definitely makes sense.
So you can't be on either side of the discussion, but this writer is alleging that the Astros were cheating in 2019. And what makes it less credible to a lot of people is this is a New York guy and the Yankees just can't give it up, right?
The author of this is New York guy? Yeah,
everyone's ticked about the Astros.
But he's also a Major League Baseball guy.
He is, but he's a New York guy.
Fair.
So I'm not saying he's right, I'm not saying he's wrong, but like that,
he may have a motive.
He might have, because no fan base has had a tougher time dealing with this than the New York
Did he get his evidence from John Boy?
Yeah, well done.
It doesn't say. I don't know if John Boy is quoted in this book.
I'll say this, the article that I read was Richard Justice, who's a Houston guy, but is a lot like the writer, is a Major League Baseball guy who's respected throughout. So, yes, you could look at, is there a motive because you're from there? You read the Texas Monthly article, and Justice seems to really give this guy a lot of credit a lot of love and respect, and he you could tell he was pissed about being lied to.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the problem with being adamant after that. They were adamant in saying and calling people out, and then A.J. Hinch has done a good job, at least I think he's done a pretty good job, of trying to own it, but then is he really owning everything?
Yeah, so here's a quick compilation of A.J. Hinch cuts from after Major League Baseball's investigation, which cleared the Astros of any wrongdoing from 2019. Here's a couple of A.J. Hinch sounders.
A.J., what do you think of the allegations you guys were using whistles to try to gain some kind of advantage?
Man, I'm glad you asked that question. And I thought it would come up today. And it's, you know, we talked about this the other day. And in reality, it's a joke. But, you know, Major League Baseball does a lot to ensure the fairness of the game. There's people everywhere. If you go through the dugouts and the clubhouses and the hallways, there's like so many people around that, that are doing this.
We've heard reports about Astros players wearing buzzers underneath their uniforms. That's how they're getting the signal, what pitch is coming. I know the commissioner's office looked into this, and they determined there was nothing to it. Can you assure us there were no buzzers or anything like that being
used? Well, the commissioner, we got investigated for 3 months, and the commissioner's office did as thorough an investigation as anyone could imagine was possible. I mean, I know he mentioned the emails and the texts and the messages, and I believe them.
So there's a couple of A.J. Hinch sound bites, a couple of voice cracks in there, too, which...
yeah, could indicate he's deception, if you will.
I'm not saying it does. He might be going through puberty.
He could be.
In his 50s or however old he is. But, no, it's just interesting. I mean, the story's not going away. And look, it's cheating in baseball. They go together like French fries and ketchup, right? We've got this new cheating scandal with the spider tack and the sticky substances that pitchers all over Major League Baseball are using. So... it's not going away, and apparently there's more, or there could be more to this Astros story, too.
I think there is.
I think there is, too. Here's one thing that doesn't help. Yankees outfielder Cameron Maybin, who had played with the Astros, had told his coaches, be careful in Houston. He said, quote, when you go in there, you got to make sure your S is totally buttoned up, end quote.
Yeah.
And the fact that the Oakland A's have been screaming about this forever, there's no doubt the Astros cheated. It's for how long. And what I want to figure out is, were there buzzers involved? Was there stuff like that that you found out later?
Everybody remembers the walk-off home run that Jose Altuve hit off Aroldis
Chapman. That was a tattoo, though. Bad tattoo.
To send the Astros to the World Series, and how Altuve would not let his teammates rip
take
off his jersey.
Yeah.
And there was like a speculation, okay, is there a buzzer under there? What's going on here? We never got evidence either way of that happening, but... I don't know. Once again, I just don't think you can be an absolutist on either side of this debate. And look, other teams were doing it too, and probably still are doing it. The Astros might have just been better than everybody
else
at doing it.
They were the best at doing it.
But, I mean, if nobody else was doing anything close to what they were doing, then that maybe tarnishes what they were able to pull off.
Some crazy things in this article, Rod. I think this will be an interesting book to read.
Yeah.
But Jacob deGrom... was in this actually, this may have been in LA. So this talks about how there could have been the Dodgers, Milwaukee, the Yankees, the Red Sox. He got lit up and he spent the next day roaming around looking for GoPros, looking for anything he could. And there were also some players during the regular season that were told when they went to Houston, go get lost. You know, because you're a player, so you should be able to go anywhere, even if there's a spot where they're like, hey, what are you doing here? Hey, I'm a player. I went the wrong way.
Yeah.
So what do you need to do, kick me out?
Yeah. Go try to see if you can find some shady guys.
Go find some stuff.
Yeah. No, you're right. And some people claim they saw shady stuff.
Yeah.
Some people say they saw shady individuals walking around doing things. I don't know if we'll ever know. I agree with BK. The unfortunate thing is, and this goes for every league, it's not just Major League Baseball, so I'm not just, criticizing them. You can't trust the leagues when it comes to these stories.
No.
Because every league wants to squash rumors of cheating and teams operating outside the rules. The NFL did it notoriously and infamously when they burned the evidence from Spygate. We found out later on that it wasn't just two or three tapes, that Belichick had a freaking library that he had been for years surveilling other teams. Happened in the NBA. Remember the
NBA with officials
with the
is
officials,
usually what
right?
it is.
Betting
yeah.
on games yep. and that kind of stuff. And they want to cover that up as quick as possible, move on. We don't want the truth. We just want to move the hell on.
Yeah.
And the same thing happened in Major League Baseball with steroids and everything. It's every sport. They don't want the truth. They just want to move on. So you're right, BK. Can't trust them. And they don't care about cheating. They just care about, what'd you say, the perception of it?
Yep.
That's it.
You hit the nail on the head
That's
that.
That's a it's a great line.
Yeah,
I
it's a
it.
Great way to put it. And really the key is they don't want the dream to be broken.
Yep. Shattered.
If the fan and the consumer doesn't think it's legitimate, that can really affect their business.
Well, not only that, betting.
Betting too. Good point.
Betting, if it's delegitimized, then the betting houses decide, whoa, it's not real. It's a fabricated result. Okay. We gotta do something about this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot of layers to it, man. A lot of layers.
Yeah, as one of the small number of guys from that movie said, you can't handle the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
A few good men.
Oh yeah, it wasn't Yeah. It wasn't a small number of guys that were good. It was a great few scene. Good men.
Because remember Costanza? I've been working on my Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, you can't handle the truth.
Remember he was real nasally?
Jack Nicholson was in that movie for probably like 15 minutes too.
Is that it?
He wasn't in for long. For 20 minutes of the movie.
He did well.
And he took over the whole thing.
He did well.
Yeah.
All right, there's the BK Lounge. I'm sure more to this story in the coming days and weeks. When we come back, we'll tell you what's on tap, and we'll wrap up the show next.
Pop a top again.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash your
mouth? Oh, yeah. You know, I've been known to drink a beer or two.
I think a man working outdoors feels more like a man if you can have a bottle of suds. It's only my opinion, sir.
I got beer.
I got bottled breast milk.
Why don't we start with the beer?
Okay.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Wait. It's already 5 o'clock here. It's time for What's on Tap.
How about a nice cool drink?
That's really
man,
good.
That's good. That is...
Pop a top again.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. It is time to wrap things up, put it in the oven. Before we do that, we got to let you know what's on tap. If you missed any part of the show, go to hornfm.com and you can catch up with any of the shows you may have missed. Go to hornfm.com and go to the podcast page. It should be just that simple. All right, gentlemen, before we get out of here, let the folks know what's on tap. KD, you up first. What's on tap, brother?
I'm watching this thing go to a 2-1 series. Milwaukee's up 7-0. This is over with. This is over with. No Jeff Green, no James Harden, no chance. This is still going to be a series, BK.
I like how you put Jeff Green.
I know first.
I know. I was like, Jeff Green is going to be the difference?
Hey, hey.
The great equalizer?
How dare you? I'm just hoping this is a game. I'm hoping I'm watching this in the fourth quarter. There you go, freak. I know. I love that guy.
He's got that scowl.
He does.
It's 2 minutes into the first quarter.
You thought this was going to be a series.
I did, and I'm so disappointed that it's not going to be a series. It's over already. I don't know what you're getting so excited about.
Yeah, I think it's
series
over, too.
Series is done. The only reason Nets are going to lose here is because they may get relaxed too much, and they thought the series was over, too.
And
this will last a half, and then they'll wake up, and then they'll start beating the hell out of them.
And no Jeff Green. So
yeah.
Oh, no Jeff.
You lose a Georgetown product.
Sorry.
Yeah, who's like 36.
He's old. What are you doing, BK?
Are you saying Nets sweep, Rodby?
No, I'm not going to say sweet, but that it's over. Like I thought it was going to be like a competitive series. Okay. It's not going to be.
He picked Milwaukee in 5 when you were gone.
Okay.
Yeah,
we know that's not true.
No,
I wasn't that crazy.
Rodney's not the smartest guy in the world.
But not that dumb, right?
I think I am picking the Suns, though.
Yeah, you're all in on
the Suns,
man.
Over the Nets?
Huh? No. Not in the finals, like from the West.
Okay.
I think they may actually come out of the West.
You kind
of
teased that, though.
I think they could come out of the West.
You think they could give the Nets a tougher matchup?
They're just playing really well.
Right. What am I got?
Jesus,
this is
man.
Terrible,
Are
dude.
Your parents in town?
No, they were yesterday.
They
did you see
them? Did you go to Jew Boy?
Went to Jew Boy.
Nice.
Solid.
How was that Jew Boy burger?
It was very nice.
Yeah.
Not very kosher. I got bacon and queso on
Good for you.
And queso.
There's all sorts of
good for you.
Old Testament violations going on there.
Hey, Jew Boy is good. You know what I hit up? I ended up hitting up Dirty's. Dirty's is open again.
Oh, it's back?
It's back. It's the second time I've gone since they've been open. They've been open for a couple weeks. I got to say this. Y'all are doing a great job. The two younger people, I don't know if they're students or not, but they're close to that. Really good service. Nice, friendly people.
Is it at the same place? Where's the Dirty's?
None of this millennial stuff. They made eye contact. They were cool.
Where is it?
Dirty's. Same place.
Okay,
yeah.
So I was wondering if they moved it or something.
Yeah, no, it's still there.
I got to get out there soon. I love that place.
Yeah.
Timeless classic.
I got some Christian burgers. I don't think it's that. I think it's just
that.
I don't like that. Clippers Jazz tonight. Y'all have a pick for that one. Utah trying to go up 2-0. Game one was awesome.
Yeah, it was.
Rudy Gobert, the game-stealing block at the buzzer.
I'm going to go Clippers.
Yeah, Clippers going to steal one. I wonder if this is the one they're going to steal.
Yeah, me too. I think they win this series. I don't think they do so if they go down 2-0. So, big one for the Clips. Colorado and Vegas, game 6 in the NHL.
How has that been?
No one's going to watch it, but I recommend you watching it. If you like sports and you want to be entertained, to watch that game tonight.
Playoff hockey.
Playoff hockey. Come on.
And playoff hockey's tough to beat.
It's an elimination game.
Ah, there you go.
Worth
that
the
makes
watch.
It sexy right there.
Astros up 1-0 on the Boston Red Sox.
Astros tied 1-1 with the Boston
Red
Sox.
Oh, is that what? All right. Well, my computer's slower than yours.
All right.
No shock. Astros looking for the sweep, right?
They are.
Going with Zach Greinke?
Yes.
They got the broom.
And the Texas as well. Who cares? We talked about the Astros.
And they won yesterday.
We ripped on them a little bit, but the Astros are the ones.
You believe in miracles? Yes.
Yes.
They were 0-18 when trailing going into the bottom of the ninth until yesterday.
Amazing.
Where they got the W. Hey, we got Flex coming up, 2-hour show. So the whole crew, obviously Snoop, Zach, Nolan, they're going to have Nick Hall, who is a lineman from Aikens. He's already got an SEC offer. So this is a really good show. Y'all check it out if you like high school sports. Even if you like college sports, you're going to have future guys there. That'll do it for us. Listen to the Flex. You got all the stuff on hornfm.com. For Rod, for Brad, I'm Kevin. Peace, y'all.